Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Those Greek believers in God who came to see Jesus, or who came to the disciple Philip, had this simple request. Sir, we want to see Jesus. Now, those Greek believers, we don't really know a whole lot about them, but it says that they came to Jerusalem to worship God at the time of that festival, the festival of Passover, one of the most important of the festivals of God's Old Testament people. And we presume that at some point in time, they must have either heard about Jesus and about his powerful teaching and the miracles that he had been doing. Perhaps they even had seen Jesus themselves, at least from a distance, maybe had heard him, some of his teaching, or maybe had even seen some of his miracles as part of a crowd of onlookers. And from what they had heard, at least heard indirectly about him, they wanted to know more. They knew that there was something special about him. And as believers in God who believed in God's promises in the Old Testament that God would send a Savior for the whole world, it seems that perhaps they were wondering, is this man, is this the one, the Messiah that God had promised as the Savior of the whole world? But the interesting thing that we see here in this reading is that even though the desire of those non-Jewish, those Gentile believers in God and in his promises, even though their desire was good, that they wanted to see Jesus, to meet with him, our reading doesn't tell us whether they actually got to do that, whether they actually personally got to meet with Jesus and talk with him, or whether perhaps they just saw him from a distance as part of a crowd of other onlookers. Instead, we see Jesus start talking about something that seems totally unrelated. Jesus says to his disciples, "The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it continues to be one kernel. But if it dies, it produces much grain." Now, even though Jesus spoke those words at that time just to Andrew and Philip, who came to him to relay to him that request from those Greek believers in God, yet through the divinely inspired gospel writer John, Jesus is also speaking those words directly to us right now today. Now, as we mentioned, we don't know whether those Greek believers actually finally got to meet with Jesus or not. But what is important is that whether or not people get to meet and see Jesus right now, today. And we see through these words of Jesus that he has made us, his church, his believers, responsible for showing him to other people today. When Jesus says in our text, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also." We also think of some other Bible passages. We think of words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 when he says, "We always carry around in our body the death of the Lord Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. To be sure, while we are living, we are continually being handed over to death because of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our mortal flesh." And elsewhere, the Apostle Paul tells us about how God has destined us to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that we become like Jesus, so that we are changed into the likeness of Jesus more and more each day of our lives. And when that change comes about, then the life of Jesus will be revealed in us, will be revealed through us to other people here on this earth. But as Jesus says, that revelation of himself in us and through us can only come through death. And first, Jesus is speaking about himself, of course, as that kernel of wheat, that unless it falls to the ground and dies, it only remains one kernel, but if it dies, it produces a bountiful harvest. And so Jesus is saying, if I die, people everywhere will see me. When I'm lifted up on the cross, yes, the instrument of torture and execution, but it will lift me up, not just physically, but also metaphorically, so that all people will see and know that symbol of the cross and what it means that Jesus, God's Son, sacrificed himself for the sins of the whole world. And so Jesus says, by doing that, by offering my life up to death, I will draw all people to myself. Jesus is saying that it was his very death that would bear much fruit for all time to come. And we see that certainly that is the case. There was no other way. It was only through that horror and the torture of that crucifixion of Jesus on the cross that God really revealed to us the full extent and depth of our utter hopeless condition because of our sin, and really all of the cruel torture and suffering that our sins deserved as punishment from God. It was only in that awful display on the cross of his suffering and death that Jesus could show us what lengths he would go to have mercy on us, to forgive us. The death of Jesus was required to bring life to people. But now Jesus says something more. Now he speaks about us and our death. He says, if anyone serves me, he must follow in my steps and do what I do. He says, if you die with me, if you die to the world and die to yourself, then people will see life. People will see me through you. Now notice here that Jesus doesn't say that he's only calling a certain kind of follower of his to do this. He's only calling the really dedicated, the really zealous believers and followers. No, he says, if anyone serves me. Really, there's only one kind of believer, the kind all of us whom Jesus calls to die to ourselves and to, through doing so, to reveal Jesus, to reveal the life and forgiveness and salvation that Jesus has brought for us to the world around us. There's only one kind of believer. This is the way of Jesus, the way of the cross that he calls us to. In him, in Jesus, the crucified one, all that we are by nature, by our sinful nature, all that we are by heredity from our sinful parents and our first forefather and mother, Adam and Eve, all of that baggage of our inherited sin is dumped like garbage at the foot of Jesus' cross. The old flesh is of no use to God. All of the things in our human experience that make us empty and sick are gone, taken away, removed forever by Jesus because of his death on the cross. And so the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "So then, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come." But the problem arises when we will not let the old pass away or the new come. When we cling to those old ways of the flesh, of the sinful nature, when we hold on to those desires of our sinful nature and let them take root in our hearts and lives, when we nurture and serve the self rather than die to it as Jesus calls us to do. It's only as we die with Jesus every day, that we can truly live with him, that we can actually live in him, and that we can have him living in us. It's only through those people who go the way of the cross that Jesus calls us to. Only through Christian men and women and children dying every day to ourselves, to our sinful nature and its desires. It's only in that way that Jesus is seen by others in the world around us. This is what Martin Luther wrote about the sacrament of baptism in his small catechism when he wrote, "Baptism means that the sinful nature in us should be drowned by daily sorrow and repentance, and that all its evil deeds and desires should be put to death. It also means that a new person should daily arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever." Daily. Drowned by daily sorrow and repentance. Daily arise through faith in Jesus and his sacrifice for us. This is something that we must desire. We must desire for Jesus to be seen in us and through us. We must desire that his name be glorified rather than our names. We must desire that everything un-Christ-like within us be gone, be crucified together with Jesus, be put away from us forever. We must steadfastly desire to die to our old self, to our sinful nature, and instead to come alive as the new creation in Christ that God intends for us to be. Otherwise, if we don't desire that, it will never happen. The call of Jesus is always the call of the cross, the call of dying to self, to our sinful nature. But the response is left to us as God calls us. Now, what does that mean in practical terms? Well, it means that as we honestly examine our hearts and look at our lives, anything that is contrary to God's will or anything that takes the place of God in our hearts and lives must be changed or gotten rid of. And in doing that, a death really has to take place, dying to ourselves and those sinful desires that dwell in our sinful nature, in our hearts, giving up whatever leads to those sinful actions or words or thoughts, so that instead we can have Jesus with his life within us. Now, for some people, it might be a particular bad habit or a character trait that they really need to work hard to overcome, not allowing themselves to give in to those temptations to words or actions that go against God's will. And for others, it might be something or things or money and the pursuit of it. Jesus calls us to store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not here on earth. And you can only do that if you die. If you die to the world's love and worship of money and possessions, if you die to the fantasies about happiness and about contentment and pleasure here on this earth, if you die to your desire to hoard earthly treasure and to pursue the abundance of things here in this life, Jesus, God's word says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and how true it is for each one of us in our hearts. And whatever it might be, God calls us to put that to death, whatever it is that leads our hearts away from him. Because Jesus' call is a total call over all aspects of our lives and our hearts. And if we're serious about following him as he calls us to do, then we will go through that agonizing struggle of faith, analyzing and honestly confessing to God our weaknesses and asking for him to give us the strength to put to death those parts within us that lead us away from him. Asking him to give us the desire and the willingness to take up the cross that he gives us to bear and to follow him. But when we do, we always have this promise from him that this kind of dying to self will consistently bear the fruit of eternal life. And as that life of Jesus himself within us is revealed, people will see Jesus through us. It must happen. It can happen. By God's grace, it will happen in every area of our lives. In our relationships with our spouse, with our parents, with our children, with friends, and with our brothers and sisters here in this fellowship of believers. There must be a constant, willful dying. Dying to pride, to stubbornness, to arrogance and rudeness and selfishness. Dying to jealousy or boasting. Dying to anything and everything that is not of God and of his will. To anything that does not flow from the Holy Spirit who lives in our hearts because of faith in Jesus that he has given to us. As we die to ourselves and live to Jesus, we don't always know whether at every moment of every day people see and notice the life of Jesus in our lives. But we don't focus on whether other people can see and notice what we are doing as we seek to live our lives for Jesus. Rather, our focus is simply on answering the call of Jesus to the way of the cross. We believe that dying with Jesus to our sinful desires can and will bring forth the fruit that pleases God. To believe that the way of Jesus is the way of the cross, and that that way leads to a life where people will see Jesus. If we take up the cross, as Jesus calls us to do, and if we keep our eyes only on Jesus, then that cry of the searching, sinful world, searching for an answer to the emptiness within their hearts. We want to see Jesus. And that cry will be answered by God as they see Jesus in our lives and as they hear the good news of God's love and forgiveness through Jesus from our lips. I want to see Jesus too. Do you? I thank God that I see so much of Jesus here in this place, in your lives, in your words, and in your actions. It's really a privilege and a joy to see Jesus living through you. And I pray that together we might continue to spur each other on to love and good deeds, building each other up with God's word as we every day die deeper to the sinful nature within us, but rise even higher in the new life that Jesus gives to us. May God grant it for the glory and honor of his name and for the feeding of those who hunger to see Jesus. Amen.